This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are glad to join together in this time of prayer and devotion.
The first lesson today comes from the Old Testament book of Proverbs. We'll be starting in chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, and then 22 to 31. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals she cries out. To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up. At the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the foundations of the deep, and when he assigned to the sea its depth, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the human race.
When I was going over this sermon yesterday, I realized that it would be good to read from the first couple of verses of the Gospel of John. And so, because they are more than relevant, they're extremely important, I'm going to read for us from the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And then from Paul's letter to the young church in Rome, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. This is my own paraphrase. It is not by any stretch of translation, but it is my own paraphrase of Paul's word. And I hope this will be a little more clear than most of the translations are. Paul can be a little obtuse sometimes. Therefore, Paul writes to the young Christians in Rome, since we are made right by God, since we are made right with God by trusting in Jesus, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have been enveloped by this grace, which now surrounds us, and we celebrate our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also celebrate our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces patience, and patience produces a tried and true character. A tried and true character produces hope. And living in hope is nothing to be ashamed of, because by the gift of the Holy Spirit, we live our hope surrounded by love, both God's love for us and our love for God. My beloved, this is the word of the Lord for us this day. Thanks be to God. If you will remember, last Sunday, we celebrated the most recent graduates in our congregation. This past Tuesday, the Head Start program that is here held a graduation exercise for their 4- and 5-year-olds. Kind of cute. I am sure that all of those young scholars, from the very oldest to the very youngest, are glad to be done with school for a while, and probably glad to be done with all that testing, the tests that come with being in school. We've all been tested, right? We've all had to take tests at various times in our lives. Sure, yes. When you took that test, were you hopeful that you would do well? Or maybe the question I should ask is, before you took that test, did you study? Did you study before you took that test? When I was 25, I moved to North Carolina to go to school. I figured I hadn't learned very much the first time around. I needed another shot at it. And because I was coming from out of state, of course, I had to pay that very high out-of-state tuition. And so one of the first things I wanted to do was establish residency, obviously, and then get in-state, that much cheaper in-state tuition. So to do that, I did what everyone did. I went down to the North Carolina Department of Motor Vehicles, and I took the written test to get a North Carolina driver's license. Did I study before I took that test? No, I didn't study. I was 25 years old. I'd had a license since I was 16. I was a good driver. I knew what I was doing. Not a problem. I was very hopeful I would do well. Did I pass that test? No, no. Failed that test big time. All those special laws and distances and how close you can follow behind somebody and how long it takes when you're going this or that miles an hour. Oh, my gosh. Big fat F. I went home with my tail between my legs. But I went home and studied, and I studied hard. And the next time, I passed that test. Being hopeful about passing a test without studying is a little bit like being hopeful of winning the lottery without first buying a ticket. You can hope all you want, but it's probably not going to happen. One of the things that I think is distinctive about Christianity, one of the things that makes Christians distinctive, is we are a hopeful people. We are a people with hope. When we as Christians look at the world, when we look to the future, we do not look with fear or despair, right? We look to the future with joyful expectation. We look to the future with hope. And our hope is not just sunny side optimism, right? Our hope is rooted and grounded. It has a basis in fact. Our hope is not like the student who put the textbook under their pillow the night before the test, trying to absorb a little knowledge. No, that's not our hope. Our hope is rooted and grounded. Our hope has a basis. One of the bases of our hope is before the beginning. Even before the beginning, we are told God was there. Even before the beginning of time, before the Big Bang, before the stars were put in the sky and the universe, the planets were set into motion, God's Holy Spirit was there. God's Holy Spirit, eyes on me. The Holy Spirit, the wisdom of God, was there before time began. And then our gospel lesson that I read for us also, right? Jesus, it says, is there. Jesus is there from the beginning. From even before the beginning, Jesus is there. And this means that there was never a time when our triune God did not exist as a God living in loving, radical equality community. And this is good news for us. This is good news because it means that God has always been planning for us. That we were not something God did on a rainy, boring Thursday afternoon. God was always from the beginning planning ahead for us and for our salvation. God did not look up one day and say, gosh, boy, you know, those humans have really made a hash of it. I ought to look into getting them a savior somewhere. No, Jesus was there from before the beginning of time, the instrument of our salvation. Always existed. God did not look up one day and say, gee, goodness, these human beings still need me. I guess I should maybe look into sending them my spirit or something like that. No, the Holy Spirit has always been there. This means that God has always been planning for us and for our salvation. This is one of the bases for our hopefulness, our experience that God has always loved us. Another basis for our hopefulness comes from the epistle lesson, that letter to the Romans that I read for you. And bear with me just a little bit. Like I say, Paul can be kind of obtuse sometimes, and his logic can be kind of difficult. But let's see if we can sort of shed a little light on what Paul is saying to us. You see, in the early church, living a Christian life could have serious consequences. In the early church, living a Christian life could have consequences. It could lead at times to genuine suffering, being expelled from the synagogue, not being allowed to worship with others, beatings. Paul talks about those, even crucifixion. And many early Christians were. Now today, in America, we will not be crucified. But living as Christians, living as Jesus wants us to, can still lead to serious pushback. There will be consequences. If we turn down an invitation from friends or work colleagues to go and do something on a Sunday morning, and we say, no, I can't, that is the day, the time when I worship my God, there can well be repercussions. If we use our break time at work to read our Bible and pray, we might find ourselves being talked about. And if we refuse to go along with the boss's plan for cooking the books and stealing from the customer, we are likely to suffer for it. Now, suffering is bad. No one wants to suffer. But when it comes, when suffering comes, then we as Christians meet it not with whining and running away. But we meet our suffering with patience. We meet our suffering with fortitude. We meet our suffering with an attitude of keep calm and carry on. Keep calm and carry on living the gospel life. Keep calm and carry on living the way God wants us to. Don't give up. Don't give in. Just keep calm and keep being a witness to the good news. And carrying on in the face of suffering does something for us. It creates character. It creates character. Carrying on in the face of suffering creates people who do not cringe or wilt, but persevere. People who have a positive attitude. And these are the people who are living in hope, living lives of hope, not fatalism or shallow optimism, but lives of genuine hope. Our hope as Christians is not the hope of a student who didn't study. Our hope as Christians is not the hope of those who have never suffered for their faith. When we as Christians suffer the consequences of being true to Jesus, when we face that suffering with calm resolve, we develop character. We become the kind of people who calmly rely on our eternal God to watch over us. We become the kind of people who have reason to hope. Not foolish optimism, but genuine hope. Based on our experience of the God who has loved us from before the beginning of time. It's easy to give up on the world. It's easy to glance at the headlines on your phone or your pad, or catching a few words at the morning news as we're rushing out the door with our coffee and our breakfast burrito. It's easy to despair. To give up hope. War, climate change, pandemic, racial unrest, religious unrest, innocent people being shot in cold blood by total strangers, our political class tearing at each other's throats, rather than working together to resolve important conflicts and issues. It's easy to give up and to look at the world with despair. But then thank God for Christians. Thank God for our Christian hope, for our Christian hopefulness, a hopefulness that is not based on any sort of false optimism, but a hopefulness that is based in God. See, remember, our hopefulness is grounded in God's love for us from before the beginning. The triune God was planning for us and for our salvation. But also, we have this hopefulness that is grounded in our experience of God today. When we today, even when being a Christian is hard and we may suffer for it in some way, when we meet that suffering not with whining or complaining, but with calm resolve to carry on being the people God wants us to be, then we develop character. The character of people who choose to live surrounded by hope. Hope that is surrounded by love. See, friends, despair, fatalism, is not a Christian virtue. Wild optimism is not a Christian virtue. But hope that is grounded in our experience of the triune God, who has loved us from before the beginning of time and who loves us still. Hope is a Christian virtue. Friends, thank God for hope. May we share it well and freely. Amen. Friends, remember this wonderful reception, the world's largest sheet cake. It has to be eaten, including all the sugary icing. All right? At 10:15, please, a very important presentation on change, churches, and ourselves as we move forward. But now, my friends, go forth in joy, remembering that we are different. We have hope. We have a hopefulness that is based on God's love for us from the beginning of time and before, a hopefulness that is based on God's active presence in our lives today. Take this good news of hope into the world that so badly needs it. And as you do so, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord God this day and every day look upon you and grant you God's own peace. And so let all God's people say, Alleluia. Amen.
May you run and not be.
Thank you for joining with us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church of Finalac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street, and we have in-person worship at 9 a.m.